The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. Joining me are certified financial planners Craig Konstantinovich and Spencer Hager. Great to see you guys again, be here with you both.
Yeah, you as well.
Ready to get into it?
I'm always ready.
We've got a storm looming overhead, so we're going to start recording before the storm comes.
No, the storm's going to be fine.
I might
we'll
be hightailing it out of the studio.
No, come on now.
All right, speaking of storms, there's been a lot of media play recently about data breaches. I can tell you firsthand, I don't know if you guys have ever encountered this, but this can be one of the single most difficult situations to manage financially if you find yourself in the middle of one.
Mm-hmm.
I have had the lucky trio in the last several years, national and international data breaches. And once you do it once, you become very astute and organized, and you learn with each one. So today we're getting into safeguarding your identity. And I don't know about you guys. Like I said, I've been hit. I was hit by the IRS, the Anthem breach, the German data breach. My passwords are crazy strong.
Congratulations!
But I didn't have some of the other things in place. We'll get into that I do now. I have tons of layers in place at this point. Somebody tried to check our tax return. I mean, it's in all different directions. So I told myself, no, I have not been drinking. In your experience, let's talk about some of the different kinds of identity theft that people should be aware of. Craig, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the basic ones, like you had said, tax fraud. Another big one that was going around was unemployment benefits and fraudulent claims being filed there. Mm. There's a whole multitude of options or ways that people are taking your information and trying to find ways to benefit themselves. So the biggest thing that you can do at that point is just try to be as proactive as you can, because the last thing that you want is to all of a sudden wake up one day and get a nasty gram from some credit card company saying, hey, you have a past due balance of $30,000 for a car that you've never had before.
Oof. You guys, Spencer, have you dealt with many situations where you've had to kind of walk people through this?
Yeah, I think what Craig said there, unemployment, that was huge back during the lockdowns with COVID. People were having state unemployment applications in their names, and just people having credit cards show up, not credit cards, but applications. Thankfully, most times people caught it, but it's, hey, someone applied for a credit card, just making sure it's you. No, it wasn't you. And then we have to kind of jump into action, cleaning things up, because clearly something was compromised.
Yeah. And we'll get into how we can safeguard those things. But I've met some people who really don't take this very seriously. People who, when I say, you probably ought to change your passwords. Oh, it's fine. I've used the same password, since college, or they use the same password for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you help people assess their vulnerabilities, I guess is the first question.
I think everyone has relatively similar vulnerabilities. I think you're right. I think it's kind of one of those deals where people wait until they get burned the first time to jump into action on it. So I guess on the password piece, I usually, to your point, encourage everyone to, if you've heard of any data breach, go through and change your passwords or username.
Can I interrupt you? So when you say change passwords, this is another thing. I mean, if you're like me out there, I used to have social media, don't anymore, but social media, Pinterest, bank statements, the library, whatever. There might be two or three dozen websites that I have a password for, and they're all different passwords.
So you only have two dozen? That's a minimal footprint out there.
Well,
in the
that's
world.
Good, and I'm glad to hear that. So, I mean, I don't change all of those. I literally go in and change my email and all my financial
that's pretty much what I'm talking about.
Financial and medical are the ones I focus on.
Yeah, I'm not pressing people to update their Meta passwords or things like that.
No, I was just curious because I wasn't sure how in-depth you had to go to change those.
Yeah, I mean,
I've always wondered that.
It's preventative, but to your point, I mean, I'm thinking of things like TurboTax, if you use that, or, you know, your bank accounts or
Mint
or, yeah, Credit Karma, things like that. Just do it out of precaution, update it.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. We try to find different tools, whether it be having a password-protected spreadsheet that you utilize, whether it be a technological solution like LastPass or something like that, to go in there and manage your passwords or update them, or honestly just come up with completely off-the-wall crazy idea passwords that, other than just sitting there and typing out whatever comes to mind, like it's a good way for you to actually get some of that additional security level that's there. 'Cause, you know, to your point, whether it be social media, I mean, there's plenty of times where people say, hey, my account's been hacked.
Right.
I didn't mean to send this message. I didn't mean to post this. It wasn't me that did it. Those kind of things. All the way from, you know, that kind of nuance or silly level, if you will, all the way down to the financials. I mean, there's things like bank fraud that's happened where people all of a sudden look at their bank account and they said, I had $30,000 here. Now it's down to $10,000. Where'd my $20,000 go? So you want to be aware of that. You want to try to keep your passwords rotating and changing them. And you don't want to use anything that's super basic, like pass one word or something like that, or your first name or whatever the case may be.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, LMNOP.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So try to mix it up and try to create some other kind of levels of difficulty there because, yeah, usually it's more troublesome to react after the fact than to try to be proactive.
And there's usually a basic formula where you're using upper lowercase characters and numbers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the most part, a lot of passwords now.
Hey, people don't know that. You're looking at me, but people don't know that. I've had these conversations.
Sure.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No one thinks about it until all of a sudden they're compromised. That's just a fact of the matter. I mean, everyone, you know, we come in and we talk to people regularly about this and they'll say, oh, yeah. You know, I have used the same password for the last 30 years. Yeah, well, probably need to change that around a little bit. Because the more and more that you can try to find ways to make yourself more unique, the less likely you're going to have to face any kind of hardships. And to your point, when we do get hacked or when something does happen, it usually takes a lot more effort to try to recoup things, to try to fix things, to try to prevent it the next time from happening.
Hours and hours and hours. Loss
if not days
loss,
or weeks.
Loss
yeah.
If you have a job where you get paid hourly or you're not there, you don't get paid. It's a problem. It's dozens of hours to fix it. I got to the point where I have a notification in my phone every quarter, once a quarter to change my passwords.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Just because I'm paranoid about it. Let's talk about the multi-factor authentication process. I know that some of the banks, at least some of my banks and credit card companies, have it set up where you can go into your account and you can create the ability to have the software talk to your phone before you're allowed to sign in, which is what that multi-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Did I explain that correctly?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's tell people how important that is because, again, I've had conversations where there's a laissez-faire, that's just an extra step I don't need kind of a mindset.
Yeah.
How does it work?
I mean, you explained it pretty nicely. So usually you're automatically prompted with it. Usually you can set it up where if it's, you know, you're always accessing the account from a certain device, you can say, you know, remember this device specifically, but any other device, you have to do a two-factor. So they have to get a text message or an email sent over, get the code to then get in. I mean, yeah, I tell everyone to do it. I usually don't get much pushback on that, though. Like, to your point, people will say, like, geez, everything has two-factor authentication these days, but then they'll immediately say, guess that's, you know, not a bad thing, right? So, yeah, if you have the option, do it. Usually you're automatically prompted. I don't think most people have to go searching on setting
right.
that up.
Yeah, it's kind of the standard at this point. I mean, we work with a number of people across all different walks and professions and things like that, and I don't know if this is worrisome or not, but most of the tech people that I talked to, they said, you know, probably the best way to go about operating or kind of making sure that you're protected, realistically, with how much of our lives are online these days, with how smart people are, you should pretty much just assume that your information's out there and that you're going to be compromised at one point or another. So if you take it from that perspective, now all of a sudden you are more likely to say, all right, well, let me change that password. Let me do some of these additional security measures. But again, we're talking about very bare bones basic stuff at this point. There's other things that you can do. And I think, Tracy, where you want to go next, too, is, okay, well, where else can we kind of verify what our credit footprint looks like or other ways that things could be compromised?
So that's kind of stepping back into the vulnerability category. So it's probably a good idea to look at your credit report first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can get it. You can get a free copy from each of the three credit reports.
The three major bureaus. Okay. Yeah. There's other credit bureaus that are out there, but TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, you can get your credit report from each one of them once per year for free. It doesn't impact your credit, doesn't impact anything else. You could get one from TransUnion in January. You could get one from Equifax in May. You could get the other one from Experian in December, whatever frequency you want, but not a bad idea to review it periodically just to make sure that nothing's erroneous or fraudulent that's been listed there tied to your credit.
And I learned from some source, I don't know, it was through you guys or who it was from, that all of the credit reports don't report the same information. So you might have something on one that's not on the other. So I have mine set up quarterly like that too. That way I don't have to pay for it, and I'm having access to different information automatically.
Yeah.
What about things like when you're going into the airport and you're sitting there waiting for your bag and you're plugging into a USB? Is that considered a vulnerability in this case?
Yeah, I would say yes. Yeah, so
Are those safe?
Probably not all the way. I mean, I usually focus more on don't connect to the public Wi-Fi unless you have to plug in a password. That's where I think people can get into some trouble.
So how do you plug in a password? Do you have to have some kind of software?
Yeah, so like I'm saying, if you're at a Starbucks or you're at the airport, right, they usually have just a free Wi-Fi that anyone can just jump on to, right? So that's where I get a little bit worried about that if you're just connecting and then someone could, you know, potentially hack in or get some info. So either say use a hotspot or use some sort of VPN. That's VPN just essentially helps protect your IP and won't let someone.
You're talking ABC Tech Talk to me. What are those and where do you find them?
VPN is essentially just an additional layer of security where it helps essentially move around your IP address where people can't get in and see what you write exactly, get at your information.
So where do you find that?
A VPN is basically another way.
I'm tech savvy, as you know. So let's just back. I'm
look
sorry.
It up.
For all those people out there that are going, come on.
So a VPN.
Sometimes it feels like you're trying to avoid what I'm trying to say.
But a VPN, at the end of the day, to answer that question, is basically another form of protection. So it's like a virtual firewall, if you will. So it creates a way that it becomes more cumbersome for someone to find your personal device information that could then allow them to get access to your information.
That's
so
crazy.
It's basically just creating an additional level of security at that point for you.
Through your phone or your
through
computer.
Through the network capability that you have, but it's a download that's on your phone, yes.
Or laptop. Okay. That's crazy. That sounds like just like what I said. That's really weird. Sorry, keep going.
But to that point, yes, a VPN's there. But yeah, honestly, with how tech is kind of going these days and with how smart people are, whether it be a USB, whether it be just a regular wall outlet, there's even machines right now that people can put on top of ATMs or other credit card machines or credit card terminals where it's not creating necessarily a charge, but it's just copying your information and sending it to whomever created that kind of backdoor, if you will, way of getting into it. So, you know, if you are going to be in a public travel situation, try to get a portable charging pack. Try to find ways to prevent yourself from actually plugging in and using commonly accessible things because, you know, for all we know, someone may have, you know, sat down there, created this device, and now as soon as you plug in to charge your phone, you could be providing all of your information to, you know, whoever you don't want to have it.
Yeah, and if you're lost on the VPN, you can always just connect through your hotspot, right? So that's always the... Do you know what a hotspot is?
I don't know what a hotspot is. That's why I'm asking.
You're lying. Okay, a hotspot.
I don't have a hotspot.
That's okay.
We
can.
We all know I don't have a hotspot.
Yes,
how
you
long
do.
Have we known each
yes,
other?
Yes, you do. Oh, Tracy Lynn.
No, let's keep it moving. That's okay.
Where do I find my hotspot?
No, it's okay. Move on.
Well, people might want to know.
Yeah, all right.
It should be on your phone.
So go into your settings on your phone, and then it'll say hotspot. Turn that on.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for.
You can connect through your laptop or iPad.
And for the layman, a hotspot is just turning your cell phone signal into a Wi-Fi signal for other devices to connect.
There it is. That's what I need to know. Thank
Man.
You.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, you both hit the nail right on the head. All right, and that's kind of the protection measures we're getting ready to get into. So aside from strong password management, multi-factor authentication, and regular monitoring of financial and credit reports, is there anything else that we've left off the table that people should know about?
Yeah, I'll just real quick add, and then I'm
to
sure
be proactive.
Craig, you have something. Yeah, I was just going to add on the free credit reporting thing. That's a good idea. You should definitely do that for all three. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say Credit Karma is another good one that I use personally. It's pretty nice because you can log in really quickly. It's not perfect, but it'll show you at least two of the different credit bureaus. It'll show you what your score is. If there's a huge dip, you can at least preemptively look in to see what caused it to dip. You can see, you know, did someone do a hard credit pull in your name? Is it just you're overspending on the credit card and you're overutilizing it? So that's another kind of easy free tool that you can sign up for and monitor it
and
that way.
And you do not want to have to dispute anything on that credit report. You do not want to go through it. It is a miserable experience. So being proactive is really important here.
Yeah.
The reactive response strategies that exist. Give me three high-level actions somebody can take when they suspect they've been breached. Spencer, I'll start with you.
Yes. Well, final thought, too, so Craig can get one. Yeah, so I do the change your passwords, and then I usually tell people to freeze their credit, at least for the time being. Mm-hmm. So, again, you can do it online these days, but I know some people get a little bit nervous with that. So you can either do it online or you can call the credit bureaus and just ask that they freeze the credit, which just means assuming your info has been compromised, no one can take out any new credit lines in your name. It's just going to block it. And you can put a fraud alert in place, too. If you want to freeze it, I believe you have to call all three. If you just want to do a fraud alert to put them on high notice, you should, in theory, I think, only have to call one, and they'll notify the other two. So it's usually the first thing I'll tell people to do. Change passwords and do the credit freeze.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off of Spencer's, I mean, the credit freezing, that's a really, really important tool, and it's not just for credit lines. It's for any kind of loans. It's for anywhere that your social security number would be used. It's going to now all of a sudden create a hard stop on that application going through. So if you are going to freeze your credit, you're going to need to call the three credit bureaus, or the major three ones at least, put the freeze on. If you need to go out, get a car loan. If you want to get a new credit card, if you're applying for a home mortgage, you're going to have to lift the freeze, go through the process, have it done once it's secured. Then you can put the freeze back on. The other piece, though, too, is a lot of people are only concerned about themselves. One of the biggest areas where we see a lot of fraud, where we see a lot of theft right now, is for minors. People that have, you know, 18 years before they're really going to be utilizing their credit, more than likely. So people know, hey, I've got a long runway where I can all of a sudden start to create this excess of accounts, excess of information. And so, yeah, there's been several instances where, you know, 18-year-olds are going to apply for their student loans, and bank says, how do you have a, you know, 100 credit score right now at this point when you've got $50,000 outstanding? We're not going to offer you any loans.
Wow. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
So,
I agree. That's why it's on the reactive front.
Just kind of adding on to that, and to clarify, when someone's sitting there thinking about what we're saying and where to start, fraud alerts can be put on your social security number.
Mm-hmm.
It can be put against your bank accounts. A fraud alert can be put on your credit card. And when you freeze your credit, and I only know this because I had to do it, when you freeze your credit, just make sure that if you start thinking about buying a house or buying a car, that you give the credit bureaus 2 weeks to unfreeze your credit so that you can move into that process without having issues later.
Yeah, I'll just say this, too, because I saw I forget what it was. Some free resource was also saying that you could consider reaching out to the Social Security Administration or the FTC. Again, my understanding is that you only should do that if you know that someone's already made
tax
a fraudulent
returns.
Claim. Oh, yeah, or yeah, done something fraudulent with it. Otherwise, to my knowledge, you don't have to do that. But.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think the only reason we did that was that somebody stole our tax return. It took over a year to get it back because we didn't e-file. E-filing is a really good option. You know, electronically filing your tax returns mitigates any kind of potential for someone to steal your tax return as well.
You mailed it in?
Prior to that, yeah. My CPA mailed
it. What year was this?
Oof.
No, it's okay. You don't have to answer.
Before I started here, so it would have been over 10 years
ago.
Okay,
all right. Yeah. Fair answer.
Yeah. Let's talk about technology and services. Mm-hmm. We're going to explore the role of how they help mitigate risk, how they help you manage in tandem with your financial planning. Isn't it kind of an oxymoron to say to somebody, don't be afraid of using technology while also preparing them for identity theft? I mean, think about all the people that are terrified of technology in the first place. Your stuff's already out there, so you might as well take the...
Well, to your point, I mean, hey, your tax returns got stolen. Does that mean you're not sending birthday cards to people in the mail? Does that mean you're not sending all of your other traditional day-to-day items through the mail? No. Everything has risks that are associated with it. It all comes down to how can you mitigate it or how can you make sure that you're putting the best foot forward. So, like, how do you proactively monitor or what services or technologies may be out there? One of the biggest ones is, you know, anti-spy malware or basically a technology like Norton antivirus or something like that where you can protect your computer, your devices from malicious intending websites, phishing emails, whatever the case may be. So that would be one technology to consider. Then on the personal side, something like a LifeLock or something that does actually proactively monitor your credit and alert you if, hey, did you apply for this loan at this bank on this day? No, wasn't you? Okay, great. We'll turn that off or deny that loan. But now you know someone else has your information. And then honestly, like Spencer was talking about Credit Karma, I mean, that's another great tool where you can have a soft pull on your credit. So it doesn't actually impact your credit score. It doesn't count as if you're going out and applying for a loan. It just says, here's the information that's associated with your credit. So there's a lot of technologies that are out there that allow you to kind of be on top of things and monitor this in a better way. It's just really about, okay, well, how much do I want to put myself out there and how much do I want to rely on the technology as opposed to maybe some of the older school ideas?
What about software like LastPass?
Yeah, that's kind of what we talked about earlier, or Craig did, where it just helps, it tracks your passwords. You can also use it for randomly generating the password, so it's probably a lot more secure than you would just come up with off the top of your head. So I usually recommend it. There's not just LastPass. There's, you know, 1Password, plenty of others out there that you can use, and most of them these days are free. So to your point, if you're someone who's really worried about technology, the first question is, usually you have one master password to get into that password storage system. So then people ask, you know, what if something happens to that system? What if it gets hacked? Again, nothing's 100% safe, but it is, you know, a decent tool.
Mm-hmm. What about the financial accounts? And let's say, you know, we have clients that we manage, you know, their financial planning accounts, their portfolio. Mm-hmm. How do you tell people to protect themselves from phishing scams and breaches on those accounts?
Go ahead, Craig.
Give me a worst case scenario. Give me an example of what can happen.
Oh, we had someone that sent in an email, came from the client's email address, came from exactly the person that we thought, hey, here's who we should be receiving something from. They had asked for a complete distribution of one of their investment accounts. So in our minds, you know, again, one of our standard processes is anytime that someone decides, hey, I want to take a distribution or I need money, if it's out of the blue, if it's not something that we're expecting, we're just going to pick up the phone and we're going to talk to the person. It seems very basic. It seems rather intuitive, but yeah, let's voice verify that this is the person that's actually asking for the money themselves. Now with AI, that opens up a whole nother ball of wax.
You just read my mind.
But we're not there yet, so we're not going to worry about that at this point. That's something that we're still learning and adapting to, but yeah, I mean, number one, obviously, just keep a close eye on your account. Number two, alert your advisor if there's going to be any need for any kind of sizable distributions or things like that. And if you don't have an advisor and you're just working with a Fidelity, a TIA, CREF, or any number of custodians out there, ask them what's your process or how do you verify that the distribution request or asking for money is actually coming from me?
Yeah, I guess from the standpoint of the client too, or anyone who's receiving those emails from their custodian, I would say just look at the email address first. If it says it's from Charles Schwab and then the email address is JQW70, then that's probably
@gmail.com.
Exactly right. It's probably a phishing one. And, you know, for clients in particular, I always say if you're thrown off by it, you know, forward it to me. I'll let you know. But, you know, for anyone who just has accounts out there, just spot check the email because they're more sophisticated with these phishing emails. They'll have the Charles Schwab with Fidelity, you know, logo in there. It looks legitimate, but, you know, that's how they get you.
rule of thumb, don't call the phone number in the email.
Look it up.
Look up the legitimate phone number of the customer service of the custodian and reach out to say, hey, I got this email. Is it legitimate? I've had that happen from the bank. You know, these hackers are very sophisticated. They really do mirror a lot of the identity and branding of some of these companies. So you have to be super careful and be very proactive. The legal and regulatory considerations are big ones. Where should someone go first when they have their identity compromised? I mean, do you file a police report? Do you go to the attorney general? Is there a protocol, a way that we suggest people manage that first?
Yeah, again, to me, it just comes down to the scope of the breach. Like I said, I don't think you need to go notify police or anything like that. If it's something where it comes down to just your credit, right, then I usually keep it to freeze the credit, change passwords, make sure that, you know, if it's relatively isolated, you don't have to go overboard with it. Now, if it's something that, to be honest, that I've not dealt with before, if it's something way more than someone just took a credit card, and, you know, there are plenty of fraudulent claims, there's some huge amount of debt in your name, you're not able to solve it on your own, then you probably have to escalate it. I personally have not run into that, thankfully. So I'm not sure what you would do beyond what we've already talked about, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I've had several people that have needed to go out file a police report because there was theft that was involved, where they actually did have money taken out of accounts. Now, again, unfortunately, with the police resources and the sophistication of a lot of the hackers, unfortunately, a lot of times there isn't as much of a resolution that can be available there. But, you know, there are other things that are out there, too. So, you know, if you do need to report any kind of theft or any kind of identity compromise, yeah, absolutely. Alerting the police is certainly an option. Depending on how severe it is, to your point, Spencer, maybe it is going to the attorney general. Maybe it is doing something else at that point. But for the most part, at least, the first thing you want to do is try to remove any additional access opportunities for people. And then depending on the severity of it, I mean, if you need to have a court case, if you need to have other things that are taken care of and other expenses that you're going to incur in order to restore your identity, make sure that you look for things like, again, with LifeLock, they've got a, as part of their service, they'll help pay for tools and resources for you to restore your identity. A lot of homeowners insurance policies right now offer identity theft reimbursements up to $25,000 or maybe more than that. So if you do have that unfortunate experience, be aware of what other resources may be out there because you may not necessarily need to put all of that onus on yourself.
Yeah, I always tell people these days too, it's a pretty common fringe benefit or it's becoming more common. So most people have like some sort of identity theft protection offered through work and you can sign up for $4 or $5 a month and that's your protection. Or you could just do it through a LifeLock on your own, right? So it's not tied to your employer, but that's a pretty simple way to sign up and get going.
Okay. AI is cutting edge. We talked about it before. It's still uncharted territory, as you mentioned. Where do people go to learn about emerging threats to stay safe?
I mean, in all honesty, AI is not necessarily from it what everyone tells us about it. And again, you have to trust the experts. AI is not meant to be a malicious threat or a malicious technology. It's meant to be something that's supposed to be more so helpful. I don't know that it's to the point where it's absolutely going to be that way, but I mean, at this point, you know, we got to continue to see what's going to develop, where things are going to evolve. So certainly continuing to keep an eye on, you know, what some of the headlines, what some of the other experts are. But I mean, I'm not sitting here right now saying, hey, I got to subscribe to AI Malware Weekly or anything like that. So there's going to be changes. There's going to be adjustments. We just got to kind of work together with the other experts and figure out where to go.
I agree. Watch the news.
Yeah.
That's my way about it. Yep.
Great. So the takeaway here is don't minimize the potential in a tech universe. Your personal information is valuable. Stay safe online. Be aware. Use strong passwords. Be cautious. Watch out for phishing scams and be proactive overall. If you're already ready to take control of your financial future, contact us for a complimentary consultation with one of our certified financial planners. We're glad you tuned in. We hope you'll come back. We are Managing to Be Wealthy.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.